Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's Dr. Seuss Day, Tony. Can you write like Dr. Seuss?
I'm Tony Kornheiser, the man on the left, the side that provides great insight and heft. You may prefer Michael Wilbon, but if such is the case, flush yourself down the John. How's that?
That wasn't exactly Seussian.
I thought that was very Seussian. You just didn't like it because you're now where the bubbles are. You're now down the bowl. You didn't like that. Sure it was. Did you read him as a kid?
Yes.
I read him as a kid.
Yes.
I read his books to my children. I did that.
I stopped short of that.
No, I did
that. But I read Dr. Seuss.
I read that, absolutely. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Trevor Ariza body checks Trey Young. Wilder Fury 3 is on, and Mike Trout can hit a golf ball a mile. But we begin today with LeBron's perspective on the NBA. After a weekend in which LeBron lost to Ja Morant and praised him, and beat Zion Williamson and praised him, LeBron got reflective and said, quote, when you see the class of guys that's in our league right now, Ja, Zion, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, you see all these young guys, the league is in a very good place, unquote. Wilbon, are you as convinced as LeBron that the league is in a very good place?
Absolutely, yes. I remember us being on the golf course a year or so ago, and I told you that last year's draft class and this year's draft class were going to form the nucleus of the group that succeeded LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony and all the stars and guys who were Olympians as well. And that is the case, and it's coming true already. And some of those players, Tony, are better than I could have dreamt. And I think better than LeBron could. You can't predict Luka Doncic just shows up and has triple doubles every night before he turns 21 years old. No, LeBron, look, LeBron sees and pays attention to every little thing all the time. And he's locked in on this, and he could be the old man saying, get off my lawn, but he's not that, and the league is better off for him pointing this out to them and holding them accountable. This is good stuff.
So I'm going to go the other way a little bit on this, but not tremendously. I'm going to first set up the genealogy of important NBA players. I'm going to begin with Magic Johnson. I'm going to go to Michael Jordan, and I'm going to go to LeBron. And what they all have in common is not only are they the unquestioned best players, but they are leaders. I'm going to suggest to you that what LeBron does off the court is every bit as important as what LeBron does on the court.
We agree.
You have to be out there talking before games, and after games you have to lead. So let's go to all of these players now. Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, who he mentioned. I'm going to say I don't know. I don't know that they can do that. Are they glib enough? Are they open enough? Do they want to do it? There's a difference between being a great player.
You're not watching
player.
The games and the
there's
post-game.
A difference between being a great player and someone who wears the league on his back in the way LeBron does.
I'm at these games, and I've gotten to at least interact, if not know, these young players by name. Donovan Mitchell might be even to where LeBron was
in
a second.
Not a player.
You can't all be as great as Magic, Michael, and LeBron.
But that's what I'm, okay.
But it
that's
has to be
what
stocked.
I'm looking for, Mike.
The pool has to be stocked.
And someone has to come up to the top. Now, maybe it's Zion Williamson, because he seems to have that sort of personality.
He has it.
The NBA, more than any other league, is personality-driven.
Yes.
So to me,
Trae Young, who we're going to talk about, that kid doesn't have personality?
He does have personality. I also noticed LeBron did not mention Antetokounmpo.
First of all, he said, and others, if you watch the actual interview, he basically left room for, I'm not going to think of everybody in this moment. I'm not going to do that to LeBron and parse
every
name.
If you are part of that genealogy, it is a requirement that it's not just on the floor, right? You'll agree with that.
Yeah. Let me just say this. And just in case he forgot him, I just interacted with Antetokounmpo. And he's got stuff that nobody else has because of his just who he is and where he's from and what he's been through in his life that no American player has. And Antetokounmpo's got that. So there's a whole bunch of guys out there. And I thought LeBron did a great job of capturing the nucleus of that group. I do. one of the guys LeBron really likes, Trae Young, he got a little comeuppance last night. Old vet Trevor Ariza wasn't having any of Young's nutmeg treatment, that embarrassing dribble between the legs thing. So he gave the kid a forearm shiver. It was like an old Raiders hit. Ariza also told him, quote, "I ain't having that," close quote, and then hugged him up after the game. Tony, this warmed my crotchety old heart. Please tell me you, old man, got a kick out of this as well.
Did not. Trevor Ariza is an old man who got embarrassed on the floor, and then what he did was he took a Guardians of the Game
position. He didn't get embarrassed because the guy didn't go through his legs.
In baseball, this would be like Brian McCann hitting a guy when he came across the plate. I understand why he did it, because he looked foolish.
Why did he look foolish?
Ariza looked terribly foolish, and he committed assault on Trae Young, because Trae Young put it between his legs.
He didn't put it between his legs.
He committed
assault
on him, and he should be suspended and fined for what he did.
Please, he should be applauded.
I don't think
And every old guy, he ought to be awarded every week.
I'm an old guy,
Charles Oakley or Rick Mahorn trophy.
Yeah.
And Trevor Ariza ought to get, listen, you can do that if you're Trae Young. You said I'm not going to stop it, but there are consequences to be paid.
Yeah, assault.
And for you to sit here as the most crotchety old man in America, I'm not on social media. You should stop tweeting. You should. The most crotchety old man in America.
Not crotchety, just old.
No,
just
crotchety.
Old.
For you to sit here and say Trevor Ariza shouldn't take him out is pathetic.
Right.
And weak.
You seem to be much more crotchety than I am.
I am crotchety, but I own it.
I think what he did was completely out of bounds. Trae Young did LeBron name Trevor Ariza? No, he named Trae Young.
Trevor Ariza's not 22 years old.
No, he's too old.
He's 30-something.
He's 34.
That's fine.
This is his 11th.
By the way, you only get embarrassed if the guy gets the ball on the other side of your legs.
Well, he couldn't because he got knocked in the throat.
There you have it.
No, it's wrong, Mike.
It ain't wrong. It's basketball when it was actually contested, when people just didn't get out of the way and play matter. Stop.
Actually, it
was embarrassing yourself now.
Actually, it was football. It had nothing to do with basketball.
Julius Erving on line five to talk to you.
Trae Young is going to be a crowd favorite. People like the way he plays.
But you know what? He's going to think the next time he tries to go through Trevor Ariza.
Trevor Ariza is going to be waving bye-bye and handing money over to people.
Stop.
Embarrassed.
Stop.
Over the weekend, there were the usual million upsets in college basketball. We are going to isolate on three here. Baylor number 2 was beaten at TCU. Duke number 6 was beaten at Virginia. Maryland number 9 was beaten at home by Michigan State. Wilbon, which team had the most impressive win?
I think Michigan State did. And then you can argue that. You can look at rankings. People were ready to install Maryland as a number 1 seed overall, a tournament seed, like 10 days ago.
Yeah, okay.
And now, they didn't just go in there and eke out a narrow victory, which would have been fine. They laid it on Maryland. Maybe that. I mean, I thought Virginia's a team, not Tony. It's got a late kick to it.
Right.
You know, and Duke, I know, has lost multiple games, three bad road games
and
lately.
And Virginia's a defending national champion.
They don't have the guards on that team that took them to the title.
They lost three starters.
Yeah.
They lost three
Who would you think had the most impressive?
I thought it was Michigan State, clearly, because Maryland had gone to Michigan State and beaten them there.
Yeah.
And Maryland had game day there, and Maryland's crowd was totally geeked. And Michigan State never trailed in that game and was up by 18 at one point. My second one, oddly enough, is TCU Baylor.
See that.
We
don't really trust Baylor yet, do we?
No, but I mean, TCU was 20 for 32 at the foul line. If they shot well, they would have drawn away. They had 54 points in the second half against a really good defensive team. All three are impressive wins.
They are.
But Duke has lost enough lately that I thought the Michigan, but I will remember this for people, that Michigan State was the preseason number 1.
In the Big
10. And they're always,
they were the Big 10
And they're
favorite.
Always good.
Late.
Tom Izzo brings
late.
Them along
he
late.
He brings them. Yeah. They get a finishing kick.
Yeah.
Look, I think that the great thing about that day, Tony, that the weekend, is that that's what we're going to see the whole month of March. I think
if
it's just going to be upset
chalk,
alert.
You're a crazy person.
Yes,
you're,
upset alert every
you're
moment.
You're a crotchety old man.
I'm crotchety.
You, just go
you know
chalk.
What? Can't you own your own crotchetiness?
I don't think you should attack me for not going on social media. Because when you go on social
media
you
and attack
you get
people.
Fired,
see?
Then I will
see?
Laugh and dance.
You attack people for being on social media. You and Charles.
Charles and I.
Last two people in America.
Charles and
old
I.
Old and crotchety. We're less than 2 weeks removed from Tyson Fury laying a beatdown on Deontay Wilder. But already we have news of a rematch. July 18 in Vegas. If that seems quick, it's because Bob Arum, ESPN, and Fox looked at the calendar, saw nothing sexy going on then, and said, let's do this. Now that we have a rematch, Tony, do you see the same thing happening? Do you see Fury as the heavy favorite?
I don't see him as the heavy favorite. I see him as heavy. He's 6'9", 275. I don't see him as the heavy favorite. Look, we are now going into the third of a series of fights. It's been a great series of fights. Right. Deontay Wilder knocked Fury down twice in the first fight, and that was a draw. Fury knocked him down twice and got a TKO in the situation because Mark Breland said, that's enough for my boy. I think it's possible that if Wilder just comes in wearing a bathrobe and not 60 pounds of batteries.
Energy.
Not 60 pounds of batteries. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody wants to see this. You mentioned that there was nothing else on the calendar. You and I have been to Vegas for fights in summer. It's 400 degrees.
But it's great.
It's
just
so hot.
Get to duck inside just to be alive, just to continue living.
When you see people in the old days at the pool at Caesars, they end up as bacon. They're just fried to death. You
know. We loved being there for these fights.
Sure.
And I would like to be at this one. I think that Tyson Fury is going to have the same.
You like him. Yeah, you like him
a lot. Well, Tony, here's the thing. Wilder doesn't show that he has a plan B.
No, but if he lands a punch, he shows he
can knock
him down.
I know, but if he lands, but some nights he goes 0-26 and he's a Houston Rockets.
That's right.
And where's the plan B?
Right.
He's got to come with a full fight plan.
Do you make,
if he's going to win this
fight. Do you
fight.
Make Fury the heavy favorite?
Yes.
The heavy favorite?
Yes.
So you think less than six rounds. That's what a heavy favorite is in a heavyweight bout.
Yeah.
Less than six.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in there. 6-7 again.
You're not worried that Wilder lands something from the old
zone? Well, I want to see more. I want to see some combination of the first and second fight.
Right.
Like, I'm not rooting for Fury necessarily. I like Wilder. We should go to this fight.
Oh,
like old times.
Oh,
I'm going to be crotchety there.
It's so
hot. You will just say,
let's take a break.
Come on in, Trey. Give me a nutmeg.
Did Tom Brady hint again that he won't be returning to the Patriots?
And did Kevin Durant play his first game back for a team other than those Nets?
I think Trey Young is more exciting than you think.
I think he's exciting.
He got whacked.
But you got to earn it.
You can't earn it if you're laying on the ground
for sure
some old
can.
Man decides that he's the guardian of the game.
Love Trevor Ariza today.
Love him. Crotchety old. It's mail time. You make the time to send us issues. We wonder why, but go ahead and answer them anyway. Let me get what's first here.
That was a mild shot at the email.
Do you believe that Joe Burrow played a role in the Bengals franchising A.J. Green?
Well, I hope he did. I mean, what little leverage NFL players have, and they all think they have more than they actually have. Quarterbacks have a little. And if you're meeting, and there was supposed to have been some meeting last week, I think on Friday, you would say, you know, listen, I don't know what you guys are planning to do, but if you are, I'd like to have him to throw to. I'd like to.
Yeah.
If you can see your way to that. So if you want to call that influence, I'd say, yes, he had some influence.
So this is Peter King's reporting
yes.
on this particular thing. I think there's basically one way to read this. If indeed Joe Burrow had this influence, he is saying to the Cincinnati Bengals, pick me and I will come play for you. The only other way to read it is that Cincinnati says to itself, which is perfectly legitimate, he's our best player. We got to have him no matter who our quarterback
right.
is. We got to have him around. Now, the problem is, if I have the statistic correct, he's been hurt 23 of the last 24 games.
Yeah, lately,
so you're paying a guy $18 million. You're not sure that he's even going to be
but
there.
But if Joe Burrow is going to be effective as your
yes.
number one,
you
got to have A.J. Green.
100%.
Or some incredible facsimile, and I don't 100%. Know how you necessarily get that. Are you reading anything into, this is why I'm asking this, Tom Brady and Julian Edelman FaceTiming Mike Vrabel from the Syracuse game?
First of all, what I wonder about is why Edelman and Brady and Jimmy Fallon were at the Syracuse game. Brady went to Michigan. I think that Edelman went to Kent State. Now, Fallon is from upstate New York. In terms of the FaceTiming, they played with this guy at New England. They're probably pals. Look, my feeling on Tom Brady is he's 42 years old. He's a grown man. He's going to decide where he's going to play, and he's just having fun now, it would seem to me, with all of this stuff around
well, maybe
him.
Maybe the others around him are having fun. I don't know that he's having all that much fun.
Well,
it seems like Brady's kind of fun. Doesn't seem like it to me.
Okay.
So, I mean, why did they do it? Because they can. Because Jimmy Kimmel, this is he orchestrated. This is on TV.
I thought it was Fallon.
I'm sorry, Fallon.
Yeah.
I didn't mean Kimmel. Because he's on television, he can do it.
Right.
That's why they did it. Because they're just having, they're goofing on
you. You're on television. You go to Syracuse recently?
No.
In the winter?
That's not in the winter. I mean, I don't want to be there except to play golf at that beautiful course. I can't think of the name of it anymore. But the whole where's Brady going game to me is sort of boring because he doesn't have fun with it. That's not Brady's style.
Somebody tell me the
and
name of the course.
Parsing every word.
Ear. It's,
we can't think that.
It's in the casino. It's on
They didn't play on it. You and I played it.
What do you make of, we played with Boeheim, didn't we?
Did.
What do you make of former Astros closer Ken Giles saying he would give back his World Series ring if MLB asked him to?
Nothing, because MLB has made it known that they're not doing anything to the players. They're not asking the players for anything. There's no punishment. There's no consideration. They're not doing it. So in that case, Tony, I'm not going to say Giles knows this going in. I'm not going to say he's disingenuous because I don't know him and he doesn't have a reputation as such. But it's just like he said this. I'll take him at his word, but nothing's going
to
happen.
Let's get to the important thing first. In my ear, it is Turning Stone where we played, okay, and we like that very
yes.
much. When a guy's willing to give back a ring, you have to ask, what does that ring mean to him? He was benched by the Astros. He had a screaming match with A.J. Hinch. He was gone from the Astros pretty much after that World
Series ended. He still got a ring.
He also said that he was in the bullpen and didn't know anything about this. Now, I can believe he didn't hear the banging on the garbage can. And I can believe he didn't know, you know, he didn't see the setup. But I'm not sure I believe that he didn't know anything about this. It looks to me now that Rob Manfred is going to not go any further, not vacate anything, not call
for rings. Nothing's going to happen to the players.
That's what I think.
So he doesn't have to give it up. So you
right,
can just say
right.
this, and it makes you sound a little more magnanimous
right.
than the rest of the people,
Best
perhaps,
one.
On the Astros you've left behind.
You let me know when Altuve and Bregman and Springer
are giving
them back.
Ring
you
back,
let me
are
know.
They?
Let me know.
Should the Brooklyn Nets be okay with Kevin Durant playing in the Olympics before he plays for them?
So to put context in this, Durant's agent said that Tokyo was a possibility. Now, to be fair, with the coronavirus,
you don't even know if there'll be a Tokyo.
We don't know. That's exactly right.
Right.
We don't know if there's going to be an Olympics. My first inclination was this is crazy. If I was the Nets and I was paying them all this money, I wouldn't want them to play
yes,
anywhere
you would.
Else. But then I thought about it a little more. You want him to get to where he's ready to play. You need him to get some reps. What better place to get reps than with the best players
no,
in the United
no
States?
Because yeah.
that would be low stress.
First of all, the
right? low stress,
and then the games, but the practices. I mean, just being
yes.
with that group of guys.
That's what I would
that
think.
Would be great. And then, Tony, after July, he still gets a little downtime to recuperate or do whatever he wants, however he wants to carry forward his plan for reentry into the league.
The Olympics
he gets
are in
to
August.
Do that
yeah, Olympics are in August.
In August. Okay,
yeah,
fine. The season doesn't start until the end of October.
Right.
And that season may start even a week later, probably the beginning of November. So I think this would be a great thing for
my
Kevin Durant and the Nets.
Yeah, my initial reaction was that it was a very bad idea. And now I don't think it's a very bad idea.
It's a really
now,
good idea.
It's
the best
hurt,
possible case
it's a
scenario.
Disaster. But if he gets hurt with
Anywhere.
The Nets, it's
a
disaster.
Still a disaster. Yeah, I'm not going to go there.
Enough email. Let's take one last break. But still to come, Mike Trout unleashes at the driving range.
I know where that is, Tony. That's in Scottsdale, Arizona. And are the Bears really backing Mitch Trubisky or trying to dump him?
Turning Sabbath. And there's about three courses on the property, if I recall correctly.
It was cold. Even though it was May, it was cold.
Yeah, the wind was coming
still
whipping right off.
The grass wasn't even green
that's
yet.
Right. Well, that's up to New York.
More work than him.
Happy time, people. I can't tell you what he just said. Happy 22nd birthday, Tua Tagovailoa. A year ago, everyone thought Tua would be a slam dunk overall number one pick. But his broken hip changed that.
Ugh.
2 months ago, people were wondering how far Tua might fall in the first round. But now there are reports that the Washington Redskins might take him at 2. And if they don't, many mock drafts have him going to the Dolphins at 5. Of course, the Redskins might be happy to work a deal with the Dolphins and stick with Dwayne Haskins.
And draft Chase Young.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Yeah,
that
do should
it.
Do that.
I mean, everybody, the notion that they have to take him after a minute and a half after taking Haskins to me seems insane.
Not so happy anniversary to Del Ballard. On this day 29 years ago, needing 7 pins on his last roll to win the Fairlanes Open, Ballard threw a gutter ball. That sentence doesn't do justice to what happened. Ballard had to throw 2 strikes in a row before that gutter ball to be in position to win. And if you watch Ballard's rolls, they flirt precariously close to the channel. This third one fell in, and Pete Weber, of all people, won the title. For those people under the age of 35, our history lesson of today is Bowling on TV used to be a ratings gold mine.
Okay, that was on TV, obviously. You know what wasn't on TV that day? Wilt scoring 100, because that day? Happened in 1962, today.
Oh, today, a long time.
Today.
Right. Happy trails to this range ball off the driver of Mike Trout. Trout was hitting driver to Topgolf in Arizona last night, and he killed this one. It cleared the net, which was 220 yards away and 150 feet high. The ball kept going into the night, and two things appear true. One is that the ball was hit about 350 in the air, and two is that it was far enough left. If there was any water out there, it was going to be wet. Wilbon, what did you think of that drive?
Tony, I've been at that facility, that Topgolf, the Talking Stick. Let me just say this. A baseball player has the prettiest swing I've ever seen.
Did you ever hit it over the net?
No. Ken Griffey Jr.
Really?
Not a golfer.
Does he hit it over the
baseball
net?
Baseball player. Ken Griffey Jr., I'm sure, could hit it over the net.
Would it be that far? That would be a slice for him.
Well, it'd be lefty, yeah.
Oh, let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
The NHL, in its wisdom, decided not to change its emergency goaltender rule. Take that, old man.
It's just lazy and stupid is what it is. CBS will pay Tony Romo $17 million per year as his lead announcer. You're good with that, aren't you?
I like him very much. I'm happy for him. It's an extraordinary amount of money, and I'm insanely jealous. The Bears will reportedly sign an established veteran quarterback this offseason. I thought they were committed to Mitch Trubisky.
They don't know what they are. If they're going to get a backup quarterback or a guy who might start, I'd say Marcus Mariota might be my personal pick. New Knicks president Leon Rose asked for fans' continued patience. You're a Knicks fan. You're going to give him more patience?
No, enough patience already. You just got hired. Change it right now. No more patience.
Change it right now.
Last one. Bucks and Heat tonight. Be a man. Take the Heat.
You know, the Heat is sort of, they got it back on track.
Take it.
Maybe.
That's great.
I'm going to watch this game.
That's a commitment. We're out of time.
Can't wait to see it.
Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Corner.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow on Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.
Cafe 2825 Atlantic City. Shout out.
PTI.